Not a day goes by that I don't see someone handling a cell phone while they're driving, which is against state law in both our states. You probably see them, too. People either chatting into a phone in hand or glancing down with just one hand on the wheel. Are they texting? Getting directions? Under Oregon's newly revised distracted driving law, what constitutes distracted driving is more explicitly spelled out, and the fines for distracted driving get bigger, too, especially for people who've been caught multiple times. Three guests help us explore the issue a little further. Sergeant Julie Denny is with the Jackson County Sheriff's Office Patrol Division. She's in the studio with me. Sergeant Denny, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Sergeant Jeff Prohl is with the Oregon State Police. He joins us by phone. Hi, Sergeant.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Doing well. Thank you. And Ray Thomas is with us as well. He's a Portland attorney and an expert on bicycle and pedestrian rights. Ray, thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Let's start with the two police officers. Sergeant Denny, what goes on out there now? How often do police on patrol see people messing with devices? And how often do you think they are factors in accidents?
Oh, we know that distracted driving is a big problem with crashes and crashes that lead to injuries and even death. Just driving around, everybody sees people using cell phones on a daily basis.
And so what then, if anything, stops police from pulling people over in those circumstances? If everybody's seeing them all the time, there's a good chance that patrol officers are seeing them as well.
Sure. I think a lot of it just comes down to time. A lot of times we're on our way somewhere already, and enforcing traffic violations just isn't at the top of the list.
Sergeant Jeff Prohl, what are the circumstances for Oregon State Police? I imagine the places in which you're seeing people are probably a little different because OSP tends to be more of a freeway-based thing, but give us your perspective.
I would agree with Sergeant Denny. One thing we have in place are a couple unmarked cars. That helps because they don't see the overhead lights and the march unit. A lot of times, even though they are distracted by their phone, they're still looking around. They know they're not supposed to be on their phone. And if they happen to see our car, they'll put the phone down, and then we don't observe the violation. But we do see a lot of it, even on marked cars, and we do take enforcement when necessary.
Under existing law, can you pull someone over just for device use?
Currently, no. They have to be on their phone texting or talking. That's why the legislature changed the law, made it a little clearer as to what you can and can't do with that phone. Probably the biggest thing is that it takes the word communication device and just makes it, or takes the renaming of it, the mobile communication device, to where now it's any type of electronic device. So whether it be your Garmin in your car or your iPad, any type of electronic device that you have in your vehicle, you cannot be using it while you're driving.
All right, so it specifies it goes beyond just cell phones.
Right, they've rewritten the law a couple times, and after some issues, and they've cleaned it up, and it makes it pretty clear now what you can and can't do.
But, I mean, how specifically was distracted driving spelled out for things that weren't electronic devices? I mean, you're not supposed to be able to read a book or, I mean, imagine eat a bowl of cereal over the steering wheel. I've seen those things happen in cars.
Yeah, they read their paper, women put their makeup on. It's some of the crazy stuff you see or hear about while they're driving a car is a little dangerous, and we just had a call in just a few minutes ago that someone called in, a lady putting her makeup on, driving down the interstate at 65 miles an hour, even all over the road. So, it's not just the cell phone, but that's what this law is talking about today.
All right, that is House Bill 2597, passed by the legislature and signed by the governor earlier this year. Ray Thomas is the Portland attorney who has literally written the book on bicyclist and pedestrian rights under law. Ray, how did this become such a field of interest for you?
Well, I've been doing this for 38 years now, and it became an interest for me because I was a bicycle commuter, and I had an injury case at the beginning of my career where I began researching Oregon law about bicycling, and I found out that it was really kind of a mutant collection of laws that relate to both vehicles, bicycles, as well as pedestrian law. So it was much more complicated than I ever thought, and I just became a student of it back then and started representing bicycle riders as more and more people chose to use bicycles on the roadways. And I just have kind of turned it into the study of my career life. So I've been very interested in it and done a lot of education about it. And I think this new distracted driving law is going to be very important, not only for driving safety, but also for safety toward vulnerable users, because when there's a fender bender and the person is not inside a motor vehicle, like on a bike or as a pedestrian, their injuries tend to be more severe.
Well, I was about to say that as a once-in-a-blue-moon bicycle commuter myself, I seem to resent people using cell phones a lot more when I'm not surrounded with a ton of steel myself. And so what do you see out there? I mean, as cell phones have become ubiquitous, I mean, what are you seeing in terms of usage in vehicles despite laws on the books?
Well, I think that there was some confusion that resulted from the Oregon Court of Appeals case in May 2015, and it held that a person cannot be, actually an Oregon State police officer pulled a lady over when he saw that she was not looking at the road and had a light emanating from her lap area while she was actually driving drunk. And that was used as the reason for the stop and the subsequent arrest for DWI, the Court of Appeals held that she could have been doing something besides talking on the phone. And that pointed out a glaring problem in our definition of a mobile electronic device and driving distracted. So that's why there was a commission that was put together to study the problem. And House Bill 2597, as you stated, was the result of that. And it really tightens up the law and makes it so that it's much more clear that a person can be using not only a telephone, but as the state police officer pointed out, any number of electronic devices inside a vehicle.
House Bill 2597 is Oregon's new distracted driving law. Goes on the books on Sunday, October 1st. We're talking to Ray Thomas, a Portland attorney and an expert on bicycle and pedestrian rights, Sergeant Jeff Prohl from the Oregon State Police, and Sergeant Julie Denny, Patrol Division Sheriff's, Caesar Sergeant in the Patrol Division for the Jackson County Sheriff's Office. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Please pull over and do not call us from your car. Make sure that we're getting into good practice here. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Sergeant Denny, roll out, if you would, some of the features here and then the kinds of things that people can expect that are different in the new law versus the old, and how you folks have been training for it.
Well, now that the law is much more clear, anybody using a cell phone is subject to being pulled over. So we're really encouraging people to look into hands-free devices and learn how parts of their car work that may interface with cell phones that allow them to use cell phones and still be in compliance with the law.
What I imagine that over the years you probably had a great passel of excuses you heard from people about why they were using their devices while they were driving.
A lot of people use the emergency excuse. You know, there is a caveat to that where if you're calling in an emergency, it's okay. But different people's definition of emergency can change too. They may be late to pick up their dry cleaning, and that's an emergency to them. But as far as the law goes, that doesn't constitute an emergency.
So if you're calling 911, is that permissible?
It is.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what, if anything, in the way of texting or use of, for example, let's leave with texting alone first. Is there any circumstance under which texting is okay while driving?
Legally, it's the same as calling, but realistically, it's so much more dangerous because you have to take your eyes off the road to do that.
Sergeant Prohl, what are the restrictions in the law for example, using devices that will be giving you directions down the road?
A lot of people will use their phone for directions. You can set your phone up prior to leaving or in the middle of the pullover in a rest area and reset it. But if you're going to sit there and actually touch that phone or touch that device that's going to give you directions, that would be a violation of the law, considering it's an electronic device, and unless it's permanently mounted in your vehicle. So some vehicles have a nice little screen, and they have the little knobs or different devices that you can set your directions to. Now, you can actually touch that. The law allows that as long as it's permanently mounted in the vehicle. But a phone, even though you put it in a cradle, is not permanently mounted because you can remove it. So by the law, that would be a violation.
All right, so let me clear this up. So if you have a phone that snaps into some sort of built-in framework in the car, that's okay?
No, because it's still mobile.
Okay.
Under my interpretation of it, it's still a mobile device. Even though it's mounted temporarily in the car, it does not meet the statutory requirements where it says it has to be permanently mounted.
All right, but if it's permanently mounted, you can actually look at the screen or refer to it while you're driving?
According to the law, yes.
Mm-hmm. Ray Thomas, the Portland attorney, give us an idea of whether you think this law goes far enough.
Well, it goes as far as we can comfortably go based upon what we now know. Of course, any time we pass a law, everybody begins to look at, ways to get around it or limitations that it has. But when you're in the position of drafting and presenting to the legislature and legislative councils trying to figure out a good way to write it, it's not until it's out there that you really get to see how the thing is going to be interpreted. But as it stands right now, this is the tightest language we've ever had. The closest you can come to a couple of kind of gray areas, as the state police officer pointed out, it's got to be a situation where the device is permanently installed in a motor vehicle. And I guess what a person could do would be have a Bluetooth to a screen in a car. And if the screen in the car was what was Bluetoothing to a mobile device, as long as you were touching the screen in the car, you'd be outside the parameters of the law. But it's limited to a swipe. So you can't be in a situation where you're, for example, you've got a GPS in your car and you're typing in the address of your destination. What the law says is that what you can do is you can touch it to activate or deactivate it. That doesn't mean being in a situation where you're putting in a bunch of data or plugging in a phone number to make a phone call.
So, Sergeant Julie Denny, what's the recommendation then from the sheriff's office, from police agencies, for if you need to enter directions, what's the proper procedure then to do so?
The best thing to do is to do it before you start driving so that you're prepared for that. A lot of devices now also have voice activation. So with a single touch of a button or even just a voice command, you can enter an address without having to touch a screen.
All right, we're talking about distracted driving law in Oregon under House Bill 2597. The law changes on Sunday, October 1st. Sergeant Julie Denny's with the Jackson County Sheriff's Office. Sergeant Jeff Prohl is with the Oregon State Police. Ray Thomas is a Portland attorney who is well-versed in bicyclist and pedestrian rights. You can join us at 800-838-3760 over the phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Lane in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, so I've had a couple of incidents with people on their cell phones. So the second, I can't really say that was true. She bumped into me at a stoplight while I was waiting, and she said her foot slipped, which probably meant she was tailgating. But anyway, so the first one, though, was a bicyclist. I was on a bicycle by Tinseltown, and the other bicyclist just about ran me over because he was on his cell phone. And another one was I was trying to go through an intersection, but there was a woman parked right in the middle of the intersection on her cell phone, not paying any attention to traffic. So
parked in the middle of the intersection, you're saying?
Yep, she was right in the middle of the intersection, smack dab in the middle of the intersection on her cell phone.
Wow.
Maybe she was looking for directions or something.
All right, thanks for the stories there, Lane. Appreciate that. So, Sergeant Jeff Prohl, I mean, what should people do when they see people breaking the law?
Well, one, you could call the police, and on the interstate, it's a little easier for us to track people down. In the city and some of the county roads, not so easy. And then again, we would have to actually see that violation in order to enforce it. So just because somebody saw them talking on their phone and we got the call, we would actually have to observe the violation before we could enforce it. There is a way that if a person truly wanted to pursue it, they could sign a citation. They would have to go into court, appear in court, testify in front of the judge, that sort of thing, if they wanted to do something about it. But, the best thing is to you know, we don't want any road rage incidents where people are getting upset because people are on their cell phone or doing something. But the easiest way is to just call 911 and report it.
All right. But it does have to be observed by a police officer in order for it to be actionable on the spot.
For the law enforcement officer to take action, yes.
All right. And for heaven's sake, don't take the picture with your own cell phone and run afoul of the law yourself.
That's probably not the best thing either.
Okay. We have an email here from Ned in Medford. He says, I sent a complaint to the sheriff about a woman driving erratically at Riverside and Stewart. I received an email from the county that it was a city issue due to jurisdiction and to start all over again. I don't understand why the Jackson County Sheriff can't pass the info on to the city. Also, out of curiosity, how does law enforcement safely drive with all the gizmos? So one at a time. Jurisdictions, Julie Denny?
Generally, if something happens in the city of Medford, we would want the complaint to go there. They would want to hear directly from the person who's making that complaint. So if they can answer any questions and go from there, that's the best thing to do.
All right. But if you pursue somebody, for example, from unincorporated parts of the county into the city, that's a different story. That's your
sure.
jurisdiction extends at that point, right?
Right.
Now, and that was a great question about the gizmos, because there are laptops mounted in a lot of police vehicles and other distractions around the driver. So how do you folks deal with that?
Well, law enforcement, by its very nature, involves a lot of multitasking, and a lot of the communication that we need to do is over a radio. Sometimes it's by computer, sometimes it's by phone, and it's just a matter of, you know, triaging that information and figuring out the best way to communicate in a safe way.
Ray Thomas, we were talking about exemptions earlier, that you can still make a 911 call on a mobile device. There were exemptions for people who had to use their mobile devices for work before. Did those stay in this law?
Those are, by and large, gone. The big exception, and this is the actual language, is for a person who activates or deactivates a mobile electronic device or a function of the device. That's the allowing a person to swipe, which is something that, for example, the Uber and Lyft drivers are very concerned about, because if they don't respond within a certain number of seconds to the opportunity for a fare by swiping that they accept it, they don't get it, so they can't be moving in order to do it if they don't have the opportunity to have an exception like this. So their interpretation has been, and we'll see what happens with law enforcement and the courts, that if they swipe to take a fare, that does come within the exception. You'll notice that there is no exception for taxi drivers or professional drivers for fares. They're not allowed to use a mobile communication device either.
Okay, lots of different things you had to deal with in the law. I can see that. Let's take a call here from Jim in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Ray Thomas, Sergeant Jeff Prohl, and Sergeant Julie Denny.
Thanks for taking my call. It seems to me that people are pretty aware that what they're doing is wrong. I see a lot of people trying to hide their phone use. One I call the platter, where they hold it out like a platter of food and talk to it. Another one is putting their phone in their lap, which you see a lot when you bike because you come up alongside their car. Another one is the crook of the neck technique, where they've got their neck bent over sideways holding their phone. But my question is, a lot of people seem to think that if they're at a stoplight, they're not operating a vehicle, and it's that's that moment where they can really quickly text. I'd like to have some clarification around that, because I think people are misunderstanding what it is to operate a vehicle. And also, for Ray and the rest of them, how does this apply to bikes and people who are on bikes? Thanks.
All right. Thanks for that. Ray, why don't you take that whole thing then?
Okay, well, just to go in that order, the law prohibits driving a motor vehicle while temporary stationary because of a traffic control device or other momentary delays. That would clearly prohibit using a mobile electronic device at a stop sign or a stop light. So there's the first one. So it's prohibited. Secondly, in regard to bicyclists or non-motorized vehicles, the law applies to motor vehicles. Now, there hasn't been a case on it because it hasn't gone into effect yet. That'll be October 1st. But it does apply solely to driving or operating a motor vehicle. So it does not include non-motorized.
All right. So, Sergeant Jeff Prohl from Oregon State Police, give us a rundown on the fines. They are somewhat stiffer, particularly upon multiple infractions.
The first one would be a B traffic violation. That's $260. From there, depending, that's your first offense. After January, I believe, you can take a distracted driving course or driving avoidance course, which will help you. And then your second offense, within a 10-year period, it goes to a Class A traffic violation, which is about $435. And then if you get a third or fourth or fifth conviction in that 10-year period, then it goes to an actual crime, a B misdemeanor.
Okay, so B misdemeanor. You could actually take a, you could actually spend some time in jail and get fined up to $2,500. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a crime, and you can either be cited and released or you can actually go to jail.
Okay, we have about a minute and a half left. Jake in Klamath Falls, the time is yours if you want it.
Hi, yeah, my name's Jake. I really appreciate you guys taking my call here. My curiosity is how are you going to really police this law any more than you do already, like in relation to, you know, the swiping of electronic device? Like, how would a police officer actually visually see that and be able to, you know, criminalize that and do a ticket? And I mean, do we suspect, I guess anecdotally, the statistics of, you know, these types of tickets would go up now, but is there a plan in place for that? Like, will they use drones to, like, fly over cars, you know, and take pictures and send people, send you tickets in the mail? Or
okay,
how are you really going to police it? Because I see people on their phones.
Okay, Jake, hang on. I want to get time for an answer here, so let me get Julie Denning here to take a look at this.
Well, violations are usually pretty blatant. You can see them very obviously, so we're not too worried about being too nitpicky on the one swipe thing when people are very obviously talking and using their phones.
Has it become a big issue for police? Is it just an annoyance, or is it something that is actually central to your concerns about traffic safety at this point?
Well, it's very important. I mean, distracted driving is dangerous, and as technology advances, we look to see more of this in the future.
All right. House Bill 2597 goes into effect on Sunday, October 1st. Sergeant Julie Dennings with the Jackson County Sheriff's Office, Sergeant Jeff Prohl with the Oregon State Police, Ray Thomas, a Portland attorney. Thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange, and happy new law day.
Thank you.